So this week's parsha is parsha Shmini. Right at the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayihi bayem haShmini, kara Moshe la'Aaron ulevanov." It was on the eighth day, and this is when Moshe Rabbeinu called and summoned Aaron and his sons to come for the very first time to do the Aveda and the Mishkan. This is a very exciting and historic day, not just for Klal Yisrael then, but for the entire world. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Amud Beis says that day, Yom HaShmini, the eighth day of the Miluim, after 7 days of sort of warming up for this moment, when Moshe Rabbeinu, every day of the 7 days prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, erected the Mishkan and then took it down and erected it, and they were sort of like making sure that they were ready for this final day of the eighth day of the Miluim, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was a day, says the Gemara, that there was Simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was such joy before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yayim b'riyas shamayim ba'aretz. Apparently the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth was a very joyous day as well. This was actually the culmination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the world was created, was very much here. He was always present. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a world, and he wanted a place that he could dwell, as it were, and find creatures that would proclaim him as Melech, creatures that were Bali Bechira, that had the freedom to choose right from wrong and yet would decide to follow him. That was a very joyous day when the world was created and Adam was created. Obviously, that didn't work out too well. The first day of Adam's existence in this world, him and Chava committed a terrible avera. They ate from the Eitz Hadas, and from then on, sort of the world devolved from a makam that was Hashras HaShchina, that was designed for Hashras HaShchina, to a place that sort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was banished from this world, and he removed himself one step at a time until he was back up in heaven, and this world was sort of without that special Shechina dwelling here because of that Avera. And then finally on this day, the Yom Shmini L'Miluim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of allowing us to atone for that initial sin of Adam, and he's coming back down again. So this is a very historic day in history. It was the happiest day since that first attempt at bringing the Shechina down by the day that the world was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing himself to come down to this world again. It was like a new world order, a new experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was granting us the ability to atone for everything that happened prior to this. And so it was a great, joyous event, the Shmini L'Miluim. And the Gemara elsewhere describes how there were so many crowns that were given to this day. It was a day of firsts. You know, sometimes there is a book of first things. It's a very special thing. The first time this ever happened in history, the first time that ever happened, this day of Shmini L'Miluim was many, many firsts. It was the first day of Karbanos, the first day of the Mishkan, it was the Yom Rishon, it was a Sunday. It was the Yom Rishon of, and they discuss why that's so significant, but there are many firsts that took place on Yom Shmini, and so it was a day of great joy. And with that as a background, Bayayim HaShmini, this special day was the day that Kara Moshe l'Aaron u'Levanav. It was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron and Banav, okay, it's time for you to start doing your Aveda. This is the first time that Karbanos were brought in a formal way. We brought Karbanos on Har Sinai. Adam HaRishon brought a Karban. Noach brought a Karban. The Aves brought Karbanos. But the first day that officially, opening day of the Mishkan, that the Karbanos that will be brought were really, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, L'Reach Nichayach L'Hashem, this was the first day. And so Aaron and his children had this special schus of leading and bringing the Karbanos, and it was all with a backdrop backdrop of Vayhi Bayayim Hashemini. It was the eighth day. It was the day that there was great joy. And I believe that this is a very significant point to be made. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. The Rambam says in Perek Hey Halacha Tesvav, Ukeshe Yigdal HaKayin, speaking about the Avedas HaKayhanim. I have a Rebbe who, when I was in his shir about many, many years ago, probably when I was around your age, maybe a little younger. So he said he was a genius. This Rebbe was like, I would say he's arguably the greatest Talmud Chacham alive today. It's a big statement to make, but he was then already that, and that was decades ago. In any event, he once said a very cute vart. He said that if you look in the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, so you find not just about the Kalim of the Mikdash, which you'd expect to find in those halachas, but the Rambam also writes the Dinim of Kahuna. He writes not just about the Aron and the Menorah and the Mizbeach and all of that deserves to be there, but the Rambam also goes into the Dinim of the Kahuna, what the Kayhanim do and where they do it and in what age they should start doing it and under what circumstances they do the Avodah, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. All of that is also put into the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. So my Rebbe said he always wanted to say a vart, that why did the Rambam put it in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash? Because the Kayhanim were also Klei HaMikdash. There was a Menorah, and there was a Mizbeach, and there was an Aron, and there was all of the physical utensils that were part of the Mikdash. That's Klei HaMikdash. But Kayhanim were also tools of the Mikdash. They were also instruments of the Beis HaMikdash. They were human instruments. They were the ones that were performing the daily Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So they're also Klei HaMikdash. That's why they deserve to be in the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. He says, this Vart was my favorite Vart, or he really liked the Vart a lot until the Frankel Rambam came along when it was published, and it ruined the whole Vart. Why? Because what the Frankel Rambam did was, and the Frankel Rambam is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece on many levels. They went through all the ancient texts of the Rambam and perfected it and put all the Shina and Nuschais in it, and they got everything 1,000% right. They had a team of scholars that worked on this for decades, making sure that every letter of the Rambam is meduyuk. And in the back, of course, just to put a cherry on top, they added the Sefer HaMafteach in the back, so anything that any ha'ara that was ever significantly spoken about by any of the great Naisei Kalim of the Rambam, any sefer that speaks about it is put in the back. It's an amazing work. It's unbelievable. So in the Rambam, in the Frankel Rambam, it doesn't call it Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. He found the right girsa. Before Frankel, it was always Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. If you go to after the Shmuz is over and you open up a Frankel Rambam of Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, it says Hilchas Klei HaMikdash v'ha'ovdim ba, and those that serve therein. He found that was the right girsa, but he said, that killed my vart, because I had a great vart and he destroyed it. Anyway, in the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, in Perek Hey Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam writes an amazing thing. He says as follows, Ukeshe Yigdal HaKayin, when the Kayin becomes mature, when he becomes a bar mitzvah or beyond, when he becomes a bar mitzvah, he becomes somebody that's eligible now, based on his age, to perform the Avodah. The Yaseh Ish, he becomes a man. Harehu kosher la'Avodah. At that point, he is permitted to enter the Mikdash and to do the Avodah. Ve'enai nichnas la'azara la'Avod, but he must not enter for the first time to do his Avodah into the Mikdash. Ela b'sha'a shalavim Imrim Shira. Only when the Levium are playing their instruments and they're singing Shira. We know that part of the experience of the Beis HaMikdash was, it was a place of great joy. It was a place that not only did the Kaihanim do their Avaida with their Karbanis, but the Levim had their special job. They had actually two jobs, the Levim did. They were Mishayarim, they were the ones that opened and closed the gates of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And they were Mishayarim. They were the ones that would sing Shira. When did they sing Shira? They sang Shira over the Karbanis. At different Karbanis, they sang Shira. The Shir Shol Yaim that we say every morning by davening. Hashir Shalavim Hayu Aimrim B'Veis HaMikdash. Hayayim Yem Rishim Meshabbos Shabayu Halavim Aimrim B'Veis HaMikdash. This was the Shira that they said in the Beis HaMikdash every day. There was a daily Shira. Then they sang it on special occasions. They sang it by Karban Musaf, not just by the daily Karban Tamid, which is the Shir Shal Yayim that we say every day after davening, but by the Musaf, there were special Mizmairim that were said based on the day of Yantif that they brought a Musaf, whether it was Rosh Chodesh, whether it was Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, there was always a Shira, and the Levim would sing it, and then they would be accompanied by instrumentals. It was a beautiful experience. By the Karban Pesach, the Levim would sing the Hallel while the Kaihanim were shechting the Karban Pesach. So the Rambam says something fantastic. The Rambam says that a Kayan should not come and enter to do his first act of Aveda unless there's the Levim singing their music and playing their music at that time. So let's say I'm a bar mitzvah boy and it's exciting for me, I get to go and do the Aveda in the Mikdash, I'm a Kayin, I want to do my Aveda for the first time, I want to help out with the Karbanis, I want to bring one of the Minchas that the Kayin brings, or whatever the Aveda that was necessary to be done by the Kayin, I want to do it, I'm a bar mitzvah boy. So whoever was the maitre d' of the Beis HaMikdash would say, hold on, you can't come in yet. You have to wait until the music starts. Once there's music and once the Levim are singing, that's when you're allowed to come. And then they open the door for you and say, okay, go ahead. But if there's no music, this Bar Mitzvah Bacher Kayin is not allowed to come in to do his first Avaida. Maybe tomorrow he can. But the first time that you come into the Mikdash as a Kayin to do your Avaida, it has to be what? It has to be joyous. It has to be happy. There has to be an assurance that the environment, that the avira in which the Kayin is coming to do his Aveda for the first time is pure joy. There is Levim singing. And I was thinking that perhaps that's the reason for this very first line, this very first pasuk in this parsha. When did Moshe Rabbeinu call Aaron and Banav to start doing the Aveda in earnest? Vayhi b'yom hashmini. It had to be that day of great joy. The day, as the Gemara says, that was never as joyous since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth. That is the only time that Aaron and his children may enter to do his Aveda. Aaron didn't come into the situation because it happened to be Yom HaShmini, and that was the day to do the Aveda. Yom HaShmini was the happy day, and that's why that was the day that now Aaron was permitted to enter to do the Aveda. And this is, of course, a very big yesod for our life. And that is that whenever you entered into something, whenever you want to start chinuch, whenever something begins, and whether it's for a baby being born, or a bar mitzvah bacher, or a marriage, or the first week of the Zman, the first Friday of the Zman, the first Shabbos of the Zman, it has to be, the chinuch has to be in a matzah of joy. Chinuch has to be with happiness. If you're going into something and you're starting off and it's like tepid and it's not so happy and it's regular, it's mundane, it's not joyous, that's not chinuch. Chinuch, in order to be mechanich something, in order to Chinuch doesn't mean education. Chinuch really means inauguration. Like Chanukas HaBayis, Chanukas HaMishkan, Chanukas HaMizbeach. Chanukah means that it's an inauguration. You're starting something fresh. When you start something fresh, you have to do it b'simcha. If it's not an environment of simcha, it's not a simcha. It's not chinuch. Because it's not going to go in. If you're not happy doing something, you're not going to want to do it. You know, there was a great Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim who was one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Kol Torah, which is the yeshiva that I happened to have gone to when I was a bacher. It was the yeshiva of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rabbi Yonah Martzbach was one of the founding Rosh Yeshivas. He was from Germany. He was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. And just to give you an example of how great a Talmud Chacham this man was, before we get to his Vart, when he was interviewing different prospective Rosh Yeshivas, one of them was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He, of course, without giving away the secret, but I told you already, he got the job. But in order to get the job, there had to be a process, like, you know, like a rav when he tries out for a shul, it's called a praba. It's sort of just like it's your test. It's a test to see whether or not you know how to give a shiur, whether or not the bachur enjoy the shiur. It's like a model lesson that a rebbe gives before he could get a job in chinuch. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was giving his shiur. It was like a tryout shiur, and all the Rosh Yeshiva was sitting up front because they wanted to see whether or not he was roy for this position, great position. And all the bachurim and yeshiva were there, and they were, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman was already a shame dubber when he was 18 years old. He already wrote the sefer that blew the whole world of halacha away with, it was called Ma'ir Eish, about electricity. This was the time that electricity was just beginning to become, you know, popular and used, and there were many halachic questions about how it worked. What is electricity? Is electricity Eish? Is it not Eish? The Chazon Ish had his opinion, and Reb Shlomo Zalman did a lot of research on this. He knew, he was like the world expert. Reb Moshe Feinstein, I think, writes about him that you should ask Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach because he's the expert in this field. It's interesting how he became the expert in this field. He had a mother who was a great tzaddikus, and he was very close to her, and he bought her as a young child because she was hard of hearing. He won a lot of contests, as you can imagine. You know, like they have safra cards here in yeshiva. So back then, they didn't have safra cards. They had money. They gave out money. So if you knew Mishnayos Baal Peh, if you knew Gemara Baal Peh, if you knew Halacha Baal Peh, whatever it was, you got money. And most of the boys, they went with the money, and they bought svarim. He went, Reb Shlomo Zalman, he went and bought a hearing aid for his mother, which was a very expensive thing. It was not like the little hearing aids that we have today. It was probably closer to like a headset or something. It was, headphones. But he bought it, and then he wanted to figure out exactly the halacha ramifications for her. Is it, are you Yaitse Megillas Esther by listening to it with hearing aid, listening to Kriya with hearing aids? Kriya Satayra, Tkiya Shaifer. So he did a lot of research into electricity, and eventually it served him very well because he wrote the classic Sefer on electricity and halacha. When Reb Chaim Eizer, the Pesach Hadar, the Gadol Hadar, in Vilna, got a copy of the Sefer, he wrote, Ar Chadosh al Tzion Tayer. There's a great light that's coming out from Tzion. He saw already that this young 18-year-old, 19-year-old Bacher, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, was the future of Klal Yisrael. He was the Ar Chadosh al Tzion. In Tzion, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a new light that's rising. Anyway, Reb Shlomo Zalman was a shame dover, so it wasn't like he was a stranger to anybody, but he came to give this inaugural shiur, and a lot was hinging on it. So he gave a shiur, he started giving his first chiddush, his opening salvo chiddush. Reb Yonah Martzbach, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, interrupts him and asks a question on his shiur. And basically, ostensibly, destroys the entire shiur. Because he dropped a bomb on the core of the core principle of the shiur, he basically utterly destroyed. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Ban Visanusa, with his great amnivas that he was known for, he basically said, Ta'isi. He says, my bad, I was wrong. Rav Marzbach is right, I'm wrong. And then he basically said another shtickle tayra, or he continued the shir, but without using that principle that he was trying to develop. After the shir, he told somebody, Rav Shlomo Zalman, that he could have answered the question that Rav Yehuda Marzbach said, but Aliba de Emes, he thought that there was truth to it, and he didn't want to figure out a way to circumvent it, because there was truth, and he didn't want to argue. He could have come up with a chop and got around it or figured out a chiluk, but he was more comfortable just simply saying ta'isi. On the other side of town, Rabbi Yehuda Marzbach was discussing, you know, with his committee about whether to hire this young Rav Shlomo Zalman for the position of the Rosh Hashiva of Kol Torah. And he said, and they said, well, I don't know, you destroyed his shir, camp doesn't bode so. He says, are you ridiculous? He says, we're giving him the job because he said ta'isi. That's the type of person that we want. We want somebody that's intellectually honest, that has the honesty and the morality and the integrity with Torah to be able to be Maidal HaEmes. Whether or not he could have gotten around it or not, I'm sure he could have figured out a way around it. But that simple one-word answer of ta'isi makes me want him as Rosh Hashiva, and they hired him. And the rest is history. He made Kol Torah into the great yeshiva that it was. He put it on the map. But that's where Rav Yehuda Marzbach was. And listen to the Vart that Rabbi Yehuda Marzbach says based on the Rambam that I told you in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. He says that I think that the entire simcha that we make for a bar mitzvah is rooted in this Rambam. It's a funny thing. Like, a bar mitzvah boy turns 13. He didn't really accomplish anything in life. It's not like he did anything. He just aged. He became 13. And what do? We make a big simcha for him. And and in America, I think it's sort of a given that you make him a party with a band, or at least a one man band, and there's dancing, and there's a meal, and there's a Shabbos, and there's a this and gifts and a pshetel, and it's a whole maimed, it's a whole thing. What do? He turned bar mitzvah. Why, that's such a big accomplishment? I understand, you got married, that's something. But bar mitzvah, he just aged. He turned 13, so you make him a big bar mitzvah. What's going on? So Rav Marzbach says that this is the site of this bar mitzvah, this simchas bar mitzvah. Where do you find it? What's the makar? Show me a makar for that in the Torah. He says, I believe it's this Rambam. That the Rambam says that when a Kayin kishayigdal v'yase ish hayu kosher la'avayda, but ve'enai nichnas la'azara la'avayd el b'shash halavim aymrim shira. He's not allowed to come into the azara to do his avayda unless there's an atmosphere of happiness, of joy. Otherwise, we can't allow you to enter. I'm sorry, you don't come into this Aveda unless there is happiness. Unless you hear the Levim singing their Shira and their Zimra, there's no place for you coming in yet. Because if you come in, it has to be with joy. Chinuch has to start with great joy. If I'm being mechanich, a young child, to be happy with his Aveda, with the fact that he's a bar mitzvah, that he's entering the portal of holiness, of service, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a bar mitzvah, that means being somebody that's now eligible to do the mitzvahs of Hashem, that's tremendous. But if there's a vacuum of simcha, if it just happens like, and you can hear a pin drop, and it's not with excitement, and it's not with enthusiasm, and it's not with great joy, then we don't allow you to come in. Because chinuch, inauguration, has to be done with simcha, with happiness. And so we make a very big hoopla around the bar mitzvah because that's the way you enter Aveda. You don't enter Aveda unless it's with joy. You're not allowed to. It has to be with joy, because hopefully if we make it really enjoyable and geschmack for the boy, he says, wow, look at me, everyone's happy for me. There must be something great going on. Now he's going to enter and he's going to really want to do it well, hopefully. But if there wouldn't be that simcha, then, you know, it might not be that way. It's interesting, just while we're on the topic of Leviim and their Shira, when my Bechar, Shlomo Zalman, when he was turning Bar Mitzvah, so I took him to Eretz Yisrael for his Hanachas Tefillin, and, you know, just me and him, and we went to the Kaisel for the first time, when he put on Tefillin for the first time, and then I went, I think that day or the next day, we went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky to get a bracha. And somebody, you know, you need a lot of pull to get a special meeting. It was just Siat Dishmaya. We met somebody on a bus somewhere else that was going the next day to Reb Chaim, and he had pull. So on his coattails, we were able to get into Reb Chaim. And so I was like sort of standing in between my son and Reb Chaim Kanievsky. We have very nice pictures of it. And I was like the interpreter between, you know, my son and him. So, you know, he was asking him questions about, you know, what his name is, what he does. So I just mentioned that, you know, he's a Levi. My family are Levium. And he jokes, he's very, you know, he has a very sweet sense of humor, Reb Chaim. So he says, "Do you have a good voice?" So we laughed. And then he said, "I'm going to give you a bracha. And the bracha is that you should be zeicha to sing Shira with the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, Shemitz Hashem." It's a beautiful bracha. But that's the bracha to give a bar mitzvah bacher. Because a bar mitzvah bacher needs to have the Shira of the Levim. You have to have the music in your ears to be a bar mitzvah bacher. In order to come in and to have those booster rockets to get you for your whole life to be putting on tefillin with a geshmak, and to be eating matzahs with a geshmak, and to do kibbut aveim with a geshmak, and to learn Torah with a geshmak, you need to have a lot of joy that sort of boosts you into that atmosphere. But if you don't have those rockets propelling you, then you could do it, but it's hard. It's much harder. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say to parents, to fathers, when they would bring their sons to him to get brachas, whether it's before bar mitzvah or whenever, you know, you bring your son to Reb Shlomo Zalman, give him a bracha. What do you want a bracha for? Well, you know, you always ask, be a big Talmud Chacham, be a Gadol b'Yisrael. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says, "No, that's not the bracha I'm giving your son." And he did this all the time. He says, "I'm telling you," he said to the father, "make him smile. Make him happy. Make sure that there's joy in his life, and then he could do anything he wants. If he's not happy, if he's a miserable person, if he's sad, if he's depressed, if there's trouble at home, then you're not going to be able to do your Aveda properly, because his mind is going to be so scarred from all the Sukkoses and Pesachs and Yom Kippurs and Rosh Hashanahs that went bad. Make sure that he's happy. Make sure that he sees that Torah is Geshmak, that Mitzvahs are Geshmak, and he's going to want to do it. So my bracha is that he should be a happy child. You should raise him happy. Be Mechanichim happy." Reb Shlomo Zalman always had a ubiquitous signature smile on his face. It's very hard to ever see Reb Shlomo Zalman not smiling in any picture. Generally speaking, he was always with a smile on his head. That was like the default position. We have to, like, you know, to smile is like an aveda, right? If somebody makes us laugh, says a joke, we'll smile. But what's our default position of our mouth? Look around the room. Look at me. I mean, it's not, that's just how we are. Reb Shlomo Zalman's default position was he was smiling. His face was always smiling, always. Now, if it was a Levaya, he'd stop smiling. If it was, somebody pointed out, whenever you see him holding a Sefer Torah, he wasn't smiling because he was serious. There was a Kavod Reish, but every other time he was always smiling. He was happy. That was his default position. Not because his life was perfect. It was far from perfect. He had a ton of tzaras. He grew up in abject poverty. They had no food to eat. He said, there wasn't a day that that my stomach was ever satiated. No food in the house. He had many siblings, poverty. Yerushalayim, back in the early days of the Yishuv, like there was wars going on, and there was siege. Everything that you could possibly not want for a child took place with him. He said there wasn't a day. He said there was a bachur in his shir that one day wasn't there. He says, why? The next day he says, where were you yesterday? You missed shir. He said, I wasn't feeling well. I didn't come to shir, right? We always do that, right? I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to go to Seder shir. I'm not feeling well. He says, if I didn't come to Seder, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, every day that I wasn't sick, I would never have come to Seder in my life. And I was sick every day. I was malnourished. I wasn't healthy physically. I had a lot of medical issues. Never felt well. But he was always happy. He always worked on himself to be happy. And that's the bracha that he gave every single person, every boy. That you should just be happy. Be a happy person. Smile. Reb Moshe Feinstein, perhaps his most famous vart, was when he was speaking about American Jewish history. It's sad in a way. I mean, we're living now in the glory, golden era of American Jewry because we have yeshivas, we have kailim, we have beis yaakov. Everything is set up beautifully, Baruch Hashem, bli ayin hara. But if you go back, I don't know, 60 years, 70 years, and earlier, it was a midbar. It was very desolate of Tyra America. Very few people. You had yechidim that were big tzaddikim, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, and they did a lot in order to make sure that there was Yiddishkeit. And then started coming Gedalim, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Ruderman, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Gedalia Shar, many others. But there was a tkufa that was very tough in America for Yiddishkeit. And in fact, you find that there are millions and millions of people, Jews, that are not from in America. I don't know if you realize that. I guess you do. But, you know, we live in a bubble, or at least I do. You know, you live in Kew Garden Hills, and you go to pizza stores, and you go to the mikvah, and you go here, and you say, oh, it's all, everyone's from. But if you go out to the, you know, to other places in the country, whether it's in California, or whether it's in other parts of New York, or Middle America, or anywhere, you'll find many, many people, I dare say in the millions, Cones and Levies and Kaufmans and whatever, they're not from, they're not, no Tyra, no mitzvah, nothing. What happened to them? And the Kiruv movement in America, you know, tries and always has tried since it started to bring back these souls, but what happened to them? Why did they get lost? Them and their parents and their grandparents, when did that happen? It's a good question, right? They didn't come over to America. If you see the early people that came over, like during after World War I, after World War II, and in between, these are from people. You see people with beards. You look at old video footage of the Lower East Side in Williamsburg. You find in there Hasidim, people coming over from Ukraine, from Poland, from Russia, from Czechoslovakia. These were from people. So when did all those millions of Jews go off the derech suddenly? Those parents didn't, they were from. The answer, said Reb Moshe, is that first wave of immigrants, they were meiser nefesh to keep Shabbos and to do everything kedasu kedin. But, and they tried, and you have to give them a lot of credit that they were meiser nefesh to keep Shabbos. A lot of times, kiyadua, they would get a job on Sunday, and then on Friday they would tell their boss, I have to go home because it's Shabbos. Oh, you're Shabbos observant? Get out. Here's a pink slip, and you're fired, and then it's Sunday morning, they have to find a brand new job. They were meiser nefesh, but what they did wrong, he said, it's not for me to say, this is Reb Moshe Feinstein saying this, that they would come home, and they would tell their children, whether they said it verbally or the children were able to see it on their faces, as is shver zu sein ayid, which means it's difficult to be Jewish. It's difficult. We're being meiser nefesh, but it's a meiseres nefesh. It's not a simple layup. It's tough being Jewish. look, we have to be meiser nefesh. I don't have money, and I have to buy matzahs, and I have to do this, and I have to, I'm doing it, but it's tough. Rav Moshe says that when a child hears those words, that it's tough to be a yid, what he thinks in his mind is what? Okay, my parents, they have minig avisin and biyadenu, you know, they came from Europe, they had grandparents that were from, and great-grandparents, and they were in the ghettos, and in the shtetloch, and they had no choice but to be from. I'm an American. I have an American passport. I have a driver's license. I don't need this. I could take my car and I could go into the wild blue yonder. I could do anything I want. This is the land of Coca-Cola and drive-in movies and McDonald's and movie and I could do it. I don't need this. My parents, okay, they took one for God. They took a bullet for God. I don't need to do this. And so they peeled away from Yiddishkeit because they felt that it wasn't geschmack to be a Yid. Rav Moshe said, had that generation conveyed to their children that it's geschmack to be Jewish, that next generation probably would have, for the most part, stayed from. But because they didn't enter into the Avodah with the Shiras Halevim, they didn't hear the joy. They didn't see it. They didn't see the happiness. And they just saw misery and they saw discomfort. They saw difficulty. I don't want to enter the portal of Chinuch with difficulty. I want life to be good. I want to enjoy my life. If I see my parents loving Yiddishkeit, enjoying it, doing it with a geschmack, when they go by a lulav and esrog, they're excited to do so. And they're not complaining, oh my gosh, these lulav and esrog, you know, $100 I have to spend on a lemon? Or matzahs, how many people, you know, $40 a pound for matzahs? And it's true, I mean, it's not that it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. But when you convey that to children, when they hear that, what they're really hearing is, you don't like what you're doing. And I don't want to not like what I'm doing. I want to like what I'm doing. When parents are enjoying what they're doing, when rabbeim are enjoying what they do, if a Talmud sees a Rebbe and he's in love with Torah, it's geschmack for him, it's game chayenu, he's going to want to also learn and maybe be a Rebbe someday. If he sees rabbeim are like, you know, complaining about their salaries all day and not enjoying it and like not, then they don't want, then what, why would I want to do this? That's the way, that's chinuch. Chinuch means to show a Talmud that it's geschmack to do avodas Hashem. That we don't allow you to come in to do your avodah unless there's a shira that's playing loud and clear in the atmosphere. Aaron and Ubanov were not allowed to come in unless it's Yom Shmini Lemilun. It had to be that joy for them to start their Avodah, because without that, it ain't going to fly. Tell you an amazing story about Rav Moshe that I think ties in very nicely with this vart of that he always used to say constantly, as a Shmerz Zayin Yid. And you find it, by the way, in his Svarim, in Darash Moshe, which is the Sefer on Chumash. In a few places, he alludes to this yisayid, how you have to mechanech children that it's geschmack to be a Yid, that it's you're the luckiest person in the world if you're from. So listen to this story. Rav Moshe was sleeping one night. It was 11:30 at night. He was asleep. There were some kids that were like a shtickle off the derech, and they were prank calling rabbanim randomly. They had a list of rabbanim, and they just like were calling them with like random made up shaylas, but just to make fun, like just as a prank call. And one of the people on the list was Rav Moshe. So, you know, there's a group of guys making. They said, okay, Chaim, you call Rabbi Feinstein. Says, I should call Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, yeah, it's your turn. I did this Pesach, he did this Pesach. Now it's your turn, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, it's 11:30 and I should wake the God Ladar. He says, I might be off the Dar, but I'm not stupid. So he says, yeah, it's your turn, call Rav Moshe. So he calls Rav Moshe. The Rebbetzin answers the phone, and she says, my husband's sleeping. Is it very important? So he pauses a second. He says, yeah. She says, I'm going to wake him up for this? Yeah, wake him up. Okay, so far lightning didn't strike him for some reason. But he, Ramesha comes to the phone. He says, he watches Nagel Vasser. He says, comes to the phone and says, what's the shiloh? What's the emergency? So this boy makes up some random, like, ridiculous question to ask. Ramesha is very smart, Kiyadua, and he hops right away. This is like some bogus crank call that this bachur was making. So Ramesha says to him, what yeshiva do you learn in? So he didn't really want to tell because he didn't want to get in trouble. Anyway, after a while, he told him which yeshiva he goes, what shir are you, who's your Rebbe? Said what his Rebbe's name was. What Gemara are you learning? He was lucky that he knew what Gemara he was learning. He says, do you know what daf it was? He said, I think it's daf hey. Anyway, so Ramesh says, I'll tell you a question on daf hey. And he tells him the question. He says, did you understand the question? He says, no, I don't really know the Gemara. He says, Ramesh says, okay, this is 11:30 at night. Ramesh Feinstein says, get a Gemara out. I'll get my Gemara out. Not that Ramesh needed a Gemara. But he says, and let's learn what you're learning together. And Ramesh went over the Gemara once. Says, did you chop the Gemara? He says, no. Let's do it again. Learned it again. Now you got it a little bit better, but not really. Let's do it again. Did it again and again and again. Like the Gemara in Erevin, you know, Preda, he taught a Talmud 400 times. I don't know if it was 400 times, but it was a lot. So after he chopped the Gemara really well, Ramesh says, okay, now you're ready for my kasha on this Gemara. And he explained the kasha again, and the boy, like, it blew his brain open. It was like, wow, that's an amazing question. I didn't chop at first because I didn't know the Gemara, but now that you explained to me so perfectly the Gemara, now I understand so clearly the kasha that you're asking. So Ramesh says, tomorrow I want you to ask this kasha to your Rebbe and Shir. So the boy was so happy. Ramesh was mechanech him that it's so geschmack to be a yid by the time he hung up the phone. And he ran to yeshiva the next day. This boy was like the biggest troublemaker in yeshiva. He ran to yeshiva the next day, and the Rebbe starts saying the Gemara again. This boy knew the Gemara cold. He raises his hand. He says, Rebbe, can I ask you a question? He says, you want to go to the bathroom again? Okay, go to the bathroom again. He says, no, Rebbe, I have a question on the Gemara. He says, which Masechta we're doing? What do you mean you have a question on the Gemara? We're learning, you know, Baba Kama. No, Rebbe, I have a good question. So the Bachar asks the Rebbe this question. It was a bomb. And the Rebbe says, where'd you get that question from? He says, Ramesh Feinstein asked it to me last night. So the Rebbe says, I need to think about this question. Give me a few days. And the Rebbe, like, spent days and days trying to, and then finally came up with a yeshiv. He told the Bachar, I think the Bachar called Ramesh back, and they discussed it more. After this whole incident was over, this Bachar went into his room, and he cried. And he came out of his room, and he told his parents, I want to turn my life around. I never felt that anyone really believed in me until Ramesha that night. Ramesha had every right in the world to call the cops on me, to hang up the phone, to call me an ice barf, to call me every name. Instead, he turned it all around and he made it from darkness to light. He gave me time. He gave me patience. He taught me the geschmack of Torah. He gave me the greatest question. He made me feel whole again. Now my Rebbe loves me. If Ramesha Feinstein could do that to me, I want to be myself a Ben Taira. I myself want to be a conduit to change other people's lives and to show them the beauty of Yiddishkeit. And this Bachar became a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he became a Marbitz Torah, one of the great Marbitzei Torah of our Dar. Hundreds and maybe thousands of Talmidim from this person, from this Bachar, who turned his life because of one night with Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's Chinuch. Chinuch means that you don't have an atmosphere of atzvos and of depression, of seriousness. It has to be with a geshmak. It has to be with simcha. It has to be with joy. It has to be with shira. If you could be mechanech a child with that atmosphere, then the child has no choice but to be a Talmud Chacham and to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvos in the highest order. Because he wants to do what makes him happy. If he sees that his parents are happy with what they're doing, he will be happy. That same Rebbe that I told you had this vart about the Klei HaMikdash, the genius Rebbe that I told you about before, he was a Rebbe, and I think I said this not too long ago, but he had a tremendous upbringing. Him and his siblings were all Gedalei Torah. They're all Rosh Yeshivas in the greatest Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, Mechabrei Svarim. Tremendous, tremendous amkus and bekius in learning. Like I said before, he's arguably the greatest Talmud Chacham. But it wasn't just an accident. Every one of his siblings are also tremendous Talmud Chachamim. And next door to their house was a very big Rosh Yeshiva who was not successful in raising his children or his child to be a Talmud Chacham on that caliber and nowhere near that caliber. And they once asked this great Rosh Yeshiva, why is it, I guess they have to figure out the right way to ask this if the story is true, but how is it that your next door neighbor, who is not you, he's a Talmud Chacham, but not, you know, more, whatever, he raised children that are all tremendous in Torah. And your child is not. What happened? What's the difference? You would think it's the opposite. And this great Rosh Yeshiva, who I'm not going to say his name, obviously, because I want to protect his kavod, but he's one of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas of his time, if not the greatest, said the following. He said that my neighbor, on Friday night, would make kiddush and would have challah, gefilte fish, and then they would sing zmiris. Him and his sons, and they would sing harmony, and I heard it. Harmonies and beautiful solos, and they were like had a tish throughout the night with Shabbos and family and the mother and the it was a matzav of simcha, it was joy, it was shira. And when he raised those children in that matzav, they became great gedalim. Because they were nischanich in a situation, in an atmosphere, in an ecosystem of joy. But my table on Shabbos did not look like that, unfortunately. It's because we had the challah, fish, kiddush, piece of chicken, and I maybe one zemer quickly, I'll be to Yaitzer Zayin, maybe I said a vart, benched and ran to my Rambam. And I thought that I was doing the right thing. I thought, you know, this is what the Ratzon Hashem is. You got to learn Torah at Shabbos to learn. He says, but it didn't work. Children need to feel happiness and joy in order to... It's more important sometimes to sing Zmiris with your child and to make them smile than to say, sit down, let's learn what you did this week. It's not a father's job. A father's job is not to be a Rebbe. It's nice also to teach Torah. There's a mitzvah of Shinanta, but that's after. But there has to be a foundation of happiness that a father and a mother bring into the home. The Stipler Gaon used to say that the secret to raising great children, and he was obviously an expert in this, look who he raised. The Stipler is the father of Chaim Kanievsky. He says the secret, the formula to raising great children. I'll give you the secret formula. You know, like Coca-Cola, it's a secret formula. Nobody really knows how to make Coca-Cola. It's like, it has to be like a committee. One guy each knows the recipe, and, you know, and it's kept in some vault in order, because they don't want anyone getting near the secret recipe, the secret sauce of making Coca-Cola. This is how you make a child that's going to be a gadol. Here it is. Here's the formula. 50% tefillah to daven that that child should be a Talmud Chacham, and 50% shalom bayis. There has to be harmony, not just between a husband and wife, but between parents and children, parents and grandparents. There has to be harmony in the house. If there is harmony and tefillah for those children, then you have the sunshine, and you have the rain, and you have all of the right conditions so that Torah and children could bloom in that house. If you don't have shalom bayis, or you don't have tefillah, or you don't have either, it's very difficult to raise children in that atmosphere. Now, I know you're thinking to yourselves, okay, great. You know, at least those of you that might not have had that experience of that joy growing up. And you would not be in the minority if you weren't. I think you'd be in the vast majority, because life is stressful and parents don't always have that ability to smile all the time, nor should they or could they. But a lot of us have not had that beauty of Torah mitzvahs growing up. Maybe we had it in Eretz Yisrael, maybe we had it here, but I'm not giving the schmooze for today and going back in history. That we can't change. What's past is past. I'm giving the schmooze so that when you yourselves become fathers, Mirtz Hashem, whenever that time is, you should remember this. You should raise your family in joy. Make it happy. Make it geschmack. Show them how beautiful it is. Even if you're not always feeling it, fake it. But make sure that Sukkot is geschmack and Pesach is geschmack, Rosh Hashanah is geschmack, that you're bringing all of the Birchas Mayadecha to your home every Shabbos, every day, every supper. You put your phone away and you say, you know, a funny story, a joke, and you make the kids laugh a little bit, you tickle them. You bring joy to the house. And that's how you raise healthy children. That's chinuch. Chinuch is not how much Torah you inject into their brains. It's how much love and happiness is injected in their heart. And it's also, I might add, very important, not just to bookmark this for when you're married with children, whenever that is, but it's also important today, because as members of a yeshiva, we're all in this laboratory of chinuch. This is what we are. This is really what it all boils down to. What are we doing here? We're doing chinuch. We are involved in chinuch. In order for us to want to learn, and in order for the yeshiva to be have that atmosphere that's conducive to learning, first Seder, second Seder, night Seder, Erev Shabbos, Sunday, Shabbos, Yom Tov, there has to be joy in the yeshiva. There has to be that we're Kara, Meshal, Aaron, Ubanov on Yom HaShmini. This is Yom HaShmini. Every day is Yom HaShmini Liminorim in yeshiva. That's what a yeshiva is supposed to be. It's a place of happiness. If yeshiva is depressing, if it's lonely, if it's morbid, if it's quiet, it's not a yeshiva. The Alter von Slabodka used to make his yeshiva a place that was mole simcha. It was a place that was bursting with joy, and that's why, not coincidentally, he raised the gedolim of America, of Eretz Yisrael, of Europe, people like Rav Shach, Rav Yakonetsky, Rav Ruderman, Rav Huttner. The list goes on and on. All the great Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and in America and in Europe came from that little yeshiva called Slabodka, where there was joy that was manifest every day in that yeshiva. When there is happiness, you must be a Talmud Chacham. I once spoke to one of the greatest Talmidim that we ever had in Yeshiva. And he once went away it was like an intercession. You know, we have, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Bein Hazmanim in this yeshiva. We have, most yeshivas go from Sukkot all the way straight till Pesach, Kemat, right? You're off for Hanukkah, you have an off Shabbos here and there. Baruch Hashem, we have ample intercessions, and then we're off in June till September. You know, we have more, I think it's parts Merubala Aymed almost. There's more non-yeshiva than yeshiva. Be that as it may, so this Talmud, during intercession, went to a kailo, an out-of-town kailo. I don't remember where it was, but it was a small kailo, an out-of-town kailo, and he parked himself there for a couple of weeks during intercession. And when he came back, I schmoozed him. I said, "No, you know, how was your Ben Azmanim? How was your intercession?" He said, "It was unbelievable." So it's unbelievable. I said, "What did you do again? You went skiing?" He said, no. He says, "I went to this out-of-town kailo." I said, "So tell me what your hargish was. What was your impressions of that experience?" He says, "Besides for the intensity of the learning that blew me away," he says, "there was such joy there. All of these avreichim that were not wealthy, they weren't climbing a corporate ladder, they weren't making it, they weren't driving Teslas and Lambos. So they were living simply, but they were so happy. They were singing as like they were, you know, walking from their table to the Sfarim Shrank to look up a Rishon. They were singing. It was joyous." And that experience changed that Bacher. That Bacher, when he was finished learning here after many years, he went to Lakewood. Today he's one of the Mitzuyanim of Lakewood. He's perhaps one of the greatest guys learning in Lakewood today. I'm still in very close contact with him. I just emailed him yesterday. From the Mitzuyanim of Lakewood. All because he saw that there's joy. When you see joy, you want to be a part of it. If we would be able to sit together, not me, you guys, from the grassroots, and figure out how to make the Beis Medrash the hub of activity, the place of joy in the yeshiva. This is where you want to be. You don't want to be in the game room, in the hub, in the this and the that, you in the hangout. You want to be in the Beis Medrash, because that's where the action is. That's where people are steiging. That's where they're happy. That's where there's joy. That's where they're singing. That's where I want to be. That's chinuch. That's what a yeshiva is. We're starting out a new zman now. It's a short zman. But that's good when it's short. That means that we have it's not verschleppt. We can accomplish a lot in a short amount of time, concentrated. If we could put our heads together and figure out how to make music in the Beis Medrash, how to make it joyous, that I want to come into the doorways of the Beis Medrash, because it's always geschmack. There is a kaltira there. Bayayimu v'alayla. That would make this yeshiva the greatest yeshiva in the world. Because that's the secret to chinuch. Figuring out how to make something exciting, happy, enthusiastic, joyous. That's the secret to any success in life. If you can get your customers in the door and happy to be there, you're a millionaire. So we don't have to wait to be fathers and grandparents and make it. It's today. It's hayayim la'asaysay. It's incumbent upon every member of any yeshiva in the world, but we're talking to this yeshiva, to make it happy in the Beis Medrash. To make it simchadik. And when people are walking around happy, excited to learn, pulling other people into the shir, into the chabura, into telling a chiddush, into whatever it is, the more that we're excited about it, the more other people will magnetically be pulled into the Beis Medrash. And they'll want the yeshiva to grow, and they'll want to grow with the yeshiva, and that's what it's all about, in a nutshell. Make people happy, and they'll want to come. The greatest recruitment technique is not going to Eretz Yisrael and giving a great speech and a great drush on a great, you know, and thinking that that's going to bring the boy. The greatest recruitment is when the guys in yeshiva are happy. There are shayaris matzias. The whole world will know that Lander is a place that guys are happy. It's geschmack in Lander. It's a yeshiva, and they're excited to be here. And Baruch Hashem, we're doing very well. Don't get me wrong. This is not a hesped for Lander. We're doing very well. But there's always room for improvement. There's always room for improvement, and you are the dar currently that must improve it if you want to be a part of yeshiva. You could be one of the guys that are not here. I'm sure there are many guys that are not here for whatever reason today. And, you know, and they're here in name only. They're matriculated on a list somewhere, and they'll graduate with the same diploma as you got after the end of their experience. But they're not fooling anyone by not being here. They're fooling themselves. But you, if you could figure out a way to pull them in and tell them, you know, you have to come to the Mashgiach Shmuz, it's amazing. Or you have to come to the Shir Klali because, you know, you're going to be amazed. Or you have to come to Night Seder because there's a lot going on. Or Shabbos in Yeshiva was phenomenal because we sang Zmiris and we made a Tish and we made a Malava Malka that I never had in my life. That's going to make the Yeshiva great. So we're at the beginning of the Zman. It's a perfect time to talk about this. It's Bayayim HaShmini. It's coming in on the joyous times of the first week of the Zman, the first Shabbos of the Zman. At that point, Aaron Uvanov comes in to do their Aveda. We're coming into doing our Aveda, but our Aveda is to ensure that the Simcha, the freshness, the Geshmak of the beginnings stays with us throughout the end of the Zman and beyond. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Say.